Hey, what's up, folks? What's up, Tark? What's going on?
What's going on?
What is up, QS Cast? This is going to be a really quick one. This is not like a normal, I guess, official cast. It's just going to be really quick. Tarkin and I just wanted to talk really briefly about like 25 minutes or so. We have a, you know, the Pro Tour starting like tomorrow. We'll probably start hearing some stuff even tonight from our floor reporter, DJ. So we're going to have that all set up just like every Pro Tour, but we wanted to keep it like a quick insider-only cast that we normally try to do right before a Pro Tour, kind of like a last-minute kind of discussion to just keep everyone like appraised of what's going on, and just to give enough time to pivot just in case if we need to, you know, have last-minute information, just cards that we think are pretty strong that you all can consider.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we try and do this every Pro Tour. Sometimes they're a little lengthier, sometimes they're not. I remember we did one, I think it was Aether Revolt, where it was pretty quick. Kaladesh was an interesting one, but, you know, it just depends. And look, I think given the state of kind of what decks are performing right now, well, you guys will hear when we talk, but there isn't a ton to go over, and anything really, really new should be revealed by, you know, through our coverage, as Chaz mentioned, starting tonight through the weekend. So, but we'll go into all this. But yeah, I mean, you know, we'll make it a quick one. Some ideas we had for some things to look at, possibly target. But you know, there's, I think ostensibly on the surface, the format feels like the Pro Tour environment seems like it's been solved, and it's only going to be something that really comes out of left field, I think, that's going to shake things up. But we can talk about that, Chaz.
Yeah. So I think a good basis, at least for just something that we can, you know, that we agreed upon to just kind of get the ball rolling and talk about, was my article earlier. And you know, folks, actually, really, I appreciate all the feedback. You know, positive feedback. I'm glad, you know, it was really good information for folks, because I kind of just wanted to give it as broad a spectrum as I could to literally anything that was different than what we're seeing, any kind of rogue list that may pop up that are, you know, that I could have identified. So it's not like unknown. And again, I try to really look through, I mean, everything that I possibly could, to try to provide like a wide spectrum of deck lists. I must have looked through like 60 or some odd deck lists between MTGO 5-0 lists, Haruya, like Japanese finishes, you know, Magic League. I mean, you name it. I literally looked at it. And I just kind of came to the conclusion, and it's something that I've been seeing amongst like some tweets, you know, from the pros, you know, one more notably from Brian DeMars, saying that pretty much like teamers like Jund. And, you know, it's just not going to be surprising that we're going to see likely a ton of it, and different iterations of it. So I don't know if you kind of count that as innovation, you know, whether it's Sultai, Teemer, Jund, what have you. But it's really just the deck list that is like the Jund of standard as it is to modern, where it's just overall has a really good matchup with everything. And it's just, it's definitely going to be there. So it's going to be a lot of Jund or Teemer energy, a lot of energy in general, and just decks that have a pretty good game and, you know, can win against it and have a pretty good win percentage on their own. So I don't know. I mean, like you said, Tark, I mean, short of really something crazy that, you know, has been under wraps this entire time and we haven't heard a peep about it, a lot of this stuff is pretty much known at this point.
Yeah, I mean, look, this has also happened. You know, this happened in the past, right? I mean, I remember when Bant was similar to the energy deck, and it kind of was everywhere. It was the deck to beat. And then, gosh, this is terrible because I don't recall what deck kind of came out of nowhere and totally dominated it. But yeah, look, I mean, there are plenty of situations in Pro Tours where format seems solved and something will come out of nowhere. The difference here is that
it was the Cryptolith Rite list that was like the big breakout.
Right, exactly. That combo deck. So, you know, anything is possible. I really want to stress that, but it really does feel like we have the biggest data point is that we have more time now, you know, for the format to be established. So if something was going to emerge, no pun intended, if something's going to emerge, then it probably would have done so, you would think. Now, again, I mean, look, pro teams exist for a reason. They could have tech that they've just kept completely in confidence. That is certainly a possibility, but I feel like we would have probably heard of something. All that said, you know, Chaz, you and I do have, you know, your list, your article is great. Everybody, I would strongly recommend you take a look at Chaz's list. He's got some of this stuff referenced, but we have a couple of things that could be potential breakouts outside of whatever will be revealed tonight. Again, we have our coverage person on site. They should be relaying data, hopefully this evening, as far as, you know, if vendors are selling out of anything, if there's any word on what pros are kind of tinkering with. So hopefully we get some word tonight. But beyond that, you know, Chaz and I have some speculative stuff that we've been looking at, which you can also find in his article. But I think the first one, Chaz, that at least the one that I'm particularly the most interested in is Angel of Sanctions. I like Angel of Sanctions simply because it's a mythic, and it's quite a cheap mythic. Mythics are always the best to target for pro tours because they generally carry the most upside. While Angel of Sanctions is primarily found in sideboards and especially like the tokens deck, this kind of it's played across a multitude of decks. So I'm kind of just going, I really like Angel Sanctions because it has reach over multiple decks. And if it does well and it pops out in something we haven't seen yet, then it could easily shoot up.
Yeah, I think the trajectory, like the ceiling on this, I think can be a very good comparison is like Angel of Invention from Kaladesh, where you have a mythic. It is still in a masterpiece set. And I think it can push with a really good, I mean, it has been seeing a lot more play recently, but with a good showing at the Pro Tour, especially if it's like on camera and it's, you know, talked about as like really good technology against some lists, it could start entering that like $6 range. And I think that's a really good ceiling, you know, similar to the Angel Invention. I think the max it hit was like $6 to maybe $8. And, you know, Angel of Sanction, I feel, can kind of do a very similar price trend. So I also agree. It's a very cheap mythic, that's normally where we want to, you know, those are the kind of cards that we want to touch on first, and especially if they're in a masterpiece set, because if there's any value, it's definitely going to be mythics first. I really kind of wanted to emphasize that one in the article and kind of show at least in a few spots where it's being played. It's being played in some sideboards. Sometimes these gift lists like to use it because it's basically just like kind of a free removal and evasive body. You can play it. You get extra value out of it from Embalm. I highlighted another white-green list from Haruruya that was a 3-0 finish, probably from like an FNM. I couldn't really see really where the participation was. But I'm assuming it wasn't a huge event. But nonetheless, I mean, it was pretty interesting. I mean, it's become a really good go-to card in those colors for what it does in this format, which is like removal for any kind of permanent, you know, non-land permanent, and it's exile, which is, you know, in pretty high demand right now.
Yep. That's for the low end. That's my first go-to pick. Relatively very safe. And again, just sees a lot of play. You want to get a little riskier. I have another mythic, Chaz, I know you are kind of liking this one as well. If you want to get risky, then I would go in on Vraska Relic Seeker. It's a high buy-in. You're looking at about 15 plus to buy in, but out of all the evidence, to my knowledge now, and Chaz, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the expensive mythic that has the potential to shoot up. If this tokens has been getting a lot of quiet hype, I guess, there's a lot of rumblings about it. It's getting more popular. And Vraska is core to that deck. And with any kind of like serious performance or top eight, Vraska is easily $35 at a
Pro Tour. I mean, I'm going to just come out and say it. I did not like this card, I just didn't feel like a 6-mana walker was going to be as good as, you know, as it is right now. And it kind of seems a little nuts to want to go in on this now. I'm sure some folks still have these left over. It was cheaper to buy in at certain points, but this just feels like a good inventory mover. I mean, this is a really just a buy low, sell high, where Vraska is pretty much now the quintessential mid-range card. It plays a really great role in tokens. But it also is now shifted to some energy lists are splashing for it. Some of these more mid-range control lists are splashing for it. So it really is playing a multitude of roles, not just tokens. And it's definitely being utilized now in more archetypes, which is kind of indicative of why it's been trending lately. And I think, as crazy as it sounds for a six mana walker, I know it's like, I really wasn't high on this card. And we have had podcasts with, you know, even CVM on this and Ixalan. No one was really too hyped about this card, but it's doing a lot of different good things. And it's slowly becoming, if not already, the most expensive mythic. And I think this can still push into like the $25 range, maybe even more with, you know, if everyone is utilizing this card at the Pro Tour. And it's a strong showing. But it's already, again, this really good buy low, sell high target that if you're buying in at like buy list or like $13, like the low end of you can find them right now, and you're selling, you know, up into like the $20 range or more, I mean, that's still really good.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, this is a super high risk play. You know, buying is high. I mean, of course, if you can get this at buy list, I think it's a no brainer. But if you're buying as a speculative target at a low retail, you know, very high risk. But look, I mean, this thing has evolved into a serious mid-range player. And I wrote it off as well. I frankly, I look at it, I still am very surprised. It's so mediocre, yeah, but in this environment, it's really working. So I think the ceiling's higher. I think the Pro Tour ceiling is higher. I think you're looking at $30 to $35 if this thing's everywhere. Yeah.
As crazy as that is, I mean.
Yeah. And then after the dust settles, you know, $25. But, I don't know if it's really tough to say. I don't know if this is the next Chandra, the six mana Chandra from Oath, which got up to $40.
That's a good comparison. I totally forgot that did like kind of shoot up there for a while.
The catch with that Chandra is Chandra literally was everywhere and was core to the tier one decks at the time. So again, if Vraska is core, which it is in tokens, and if it becomes, you know, a core piece of a tier one deck, $35 easily at the Pro Tour.
I mean, this is Ixalan. I mean, the dust is still settling with the Pro Tour being pushed back. You know, everyone's still kind of figuring out what's going on. What is like the chase cards? We have a few of them already, but we don't have. And this is kind of actually what we talked about. I talked about with Damon. Like, is there this like really like chase mythic? And I think it's Vraska. I think it can hit that like $30 mark. If it's like putting up a good showing at the Pro Tour for sure. And at the very least, like if you're buying at like $13-$15, I don't think there's any. You're going to be able to move them regardless. So if you're losing a little bit there, you know, again, it's a high risk play, but I don't think you're going to have any trouble moving them again, even if you're just losing a little bit on fees and shipping. I mean, that's to be expected. But again, you're not going to have trouble moving them, and they have a pretty big upside right now.
Yep.
Jace as well, I say.
Yeah, so it's funny, Jace. I was just about to say that if you really want a hedge, in my opinion, it's the riskiest play you know you could possibly make right now. But if you get Jace, look, there's no reason why Jace could out of nowhere. The thing about a card like Jace, this is what's interesting. The thing about a card like Jace is Jace needs to be a four of, or even a three of, man, even a two of. If it's like a 2-4 of in some really, really good control deck that one to two pros is playing and does well, that's the kind of mythic that people go, they freak out over, and then at the Pro Tour just out of nowhere hits like $25. Just because it was a component of this like really cool control deck or some kind of really interesting deck. It happens all the times with mythics where it'll be, you know, a bulk mythic or, you know, semi-bulk mythic will be part of some really, really interesting deck that gets a lot of buzz. I remember it was, what was the artifact that every time you cast a red spell, you got a red mana. It was part of that blue-red deck. It was from Origins.
The goggles,
right? So that was a dirt cheap bulk mythic, and that deck ended up not doing well after that at Star City event, but that mythic shot up to like, I think $12, right? It was like $2. So, you know, Jace is a three mana walker. I've from day one thought it wasn't that great, but I'm always wrong about three mana walkers. I said that on the podcast we talked about, Jace. I said, look, I'm notoriously wrong about these things. So look, it could happen. It could definitely happen. And it's so, and Jace is so, for a walker, a mythic walker in standards, pretty low buy-in.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I mean, Tark, we talked about, you know, and trying to keep on time here. We're, you know, we kind of started at, you know, about 15 minutes ago, but, you know, we talked about all these cards that are now seeing play. Like, they didn't really go anywhere, but their prices have cooled off substantially. And these are the different cards that I wanted to highlight where they're still very much seeing play now, but, and again, at a very, like, kind of attractive price, they've cooled off past all that hype, but they're still seeing the same amount of play. And this is, you know, the God Pharaoh's Gifts deck are coming back. Champion of Wits is being played in so many different archetypes now. Ruin Raider is still seeing a lot of play. Heart of Kiran is kind of making a comeback. Legion's Landing, you know, for being like $5-6, he's playing so many different decks. And it's still kind of weird to me that it's like still one of the underpriced cards of the set. So, you know, I just wanted to, I mean, where do you see a card like Champion of Wits? Does it have the stock to get back to like a $6 card? Because it's seeing the play of like a $6 card, but it's now kind of depressed down to like a $1.50, $2 card, but still just as popular as always.
So the problem is, so Champion of Wits is primarily right now, the data is coming mostly from the gifts decks, right? And I feel like, is that correct? So I feel like,
but even, you know, even some of the token lists play it, and then, you know, it'll see randomly some play in other, in like other kind of not spotlighted decks, but it does slot into a lot of different things.
I just, so I just feel like the, it's hard to say, because I feel like the price increases are going to go to the, to other places in those decks. Like, I mean, you brought up a great one, which is Angel Invention. Like, I think if Gifts breaks out, then I think you're going to see more, demand in Angel Invention than necessarily Champion of Wits, though Champion of Wits is core to that. I just don't know. Yeah. I'm not as confident in Champion of Wits. I think Champion of Wits got the buzz that it did early on, and that was,
you know, rightfully
its time
so.
To shine. Yeah. Right, exactly. But I don't think that it's, I don't think it's going to be the chase card. Like, it's a support player in those decks, and a lot of these support cards, yeah, they're 4-0s, but it's like the Angel of Inventions or the Walking Ballistas. Like, those are the cards that end up getting the most, you know, seeing the price increases due to the demand. So I'm soft. I'm pretty bearish on Champion of Wits, but, you know, it's certainly possible. I'm just not, that's not one that I would be targeting.
Yeah, and again, it's a rare from a masterpiece set.
Like, I think Hostage Taker is another one. Hostage Taker is one that, like, I think, oh my gosh, like, you know, that, and granted, it's kind of expensive now, but I think that's a rare that people will just lose their minds over and end up going deep on, right? I don't think it would be Champion of Wits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. If we're talking about rares, you know, Champion of Wits, you know, Masterpiece set, Ixalan, no Masterpiece, rares, like that, that's, you know, obviously we're going to be leaning towards rares and Ixalan. And we want to go after Mythics in the, you know, Masterpiece sets, and even Mythics definitely in Ixalan, because, again, there's not that runaway Mythic, and maybe there never will be, but I think the best candidate at this point is Vraska, which is continuing to trend. We have Jace, which is, you know, the three mana walker that no one seems to know how it slots into anything, but, you know, it's kind of just at that point where it's like $6, and it's like kind of at that point where it's like, why not? You know, might as well just stash some away. So I think that's kind of where we landed. And again, I wanted to kind of bring a broad spectrum. I just, you know, it's just really going to be a lot of teamer energy, I think, or energy in general. And then we might see a new take on a deck that we have already seen. But in the hands of maybe pros, it's a lot better. I don't know what that is yet, but I tried to give, you know, pretty much anything that I found that is just worth talking.
Yep. And I think, so to kind of sort of like wrap this up, I think the takeaway here is it's pretty clear amongst people that either are, you know, are buyers or investors or store owners, people in the industry, Ixalan is still finding its place. So really target, I would be in first, the first and foremost, you should be prioritizing the Ixalan cards and watching those, because that's where everyone's going to be. Everyone's going to go for Vraska. Everyone's going to go for the power Ixalan cards that break out. That's where the demand, you know, a lot of people, the price hikes are going to come from, because people are waiting for those cards to go up. Stuff like, you know, Aur and Amaken, so, you know, those cards have seen their hikes.
they're not going to be as interesting targets. So I would start be watching out for the Exelon cards. Those are the ones that are going to see the most hike, in my opinion. And then from there, you start looking at the mythics.
Yeah, and it's actually a trend, and that coincides with a trend that we've actually started to see, where it's really hard for past set, even like mythics, it's a lot easier, but even just in general, that people go back to previous sets and like these cards start getting hyped again. It's really hard. It's not often that it starts happening. A lot of the emphasis is on new sets now.
Exactly.
Especially for standard. But that's kind of the trend that, and the data is kind of proving that, time and again. And that's something that, you and I talked about, pretty, not really regularly, but we have mentioned in the past, Tark, that it's just all about the new set, especially with no masterpieces. So, I think that's kind of, we want to really talk really briefly about that. I think my list kind of covers a lot of things, but if I had to really hone in, again, it's a high risk play, but I don't think you'll have very hard time moving them. Is Vraska. I like the Angel of Sanctions. And I only wanted to highlight Ajani Unyielding because Damon actually talked about it. I don't know if you were, he kind of mentioned it really briefly. He's like, I don't know why Ajani Unyielding's not seeing more play. I probably know something we don't know when it comes to that, I would think. But yeah, mainly this is just one of those Pro Tours that, you like to be prepared, but it's really just going to be a scramble, I think, based on what information we get out of it. But if anything, it's going to be Vraska it's just not going to be hard to move. And I'd like to be, trying to snipe a few as cheap as I can.
Yep. And all the more reason why you guys need to, be vigilant and watch out for Chaz's emails and his coverage. The coverage on this one's should be pretty good. So we always do pretty well with coverage. I'm pretty proud to say that our Pro Tour coverage is fairly top notch. So it's all you. It's literally you are everything and the only reason why anything works well with it. So.
All right, Tark. Yeah. I'm going to be logging in probably, and with fellow insiders, you're going to be hearing from me for the next 16 hours. So it's going to be a wild one. I think we're going to, the way the information is going to flow, and the way we kind of do the same way each time. I think DJ, we're going to get a lot of the information quickly, and anything new we will likely probably have very quickly, and then it's just going to be very bland because it's going to be a lot of teamer, I think. So just kind of clue in as early as you can. The earlier you start cluing into the coverage, the better. So, but I will send out anything as soon as I hear it. Who do we have? We have DJ, forgetting his last name right now. What's his last name, Tark?
Caster,
there we go. So, last minute find. Thank goodness for that. Good job on you, Tark. Everyone clue in. Glad y'all can just listen in. I'm going to have this published by the end of the day. Tark, have a good one. Thanks, everyone, for joining in really quickly. I'll have this up soon.
Where can they find you, Chess?
For the next 16 hours, I'll probably, for the next 2 days, the QS Insider Discord is probably going to be the best place to find me. Outside of that, at ChazVMTG on Twitter. You can find my articles all the time on QS. If you want to hear me twice a week, I'm on the MTG Goldfish podcast.
I'm at the_ Tark, TARK on Twitter. I do some work over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And naturally, I'm with QS. And we have one more question here, Chaz. What about Solemnity?
What about Solemnity? It's definitely still on the radar. I just don't know how effective it really is. I think a card like Solemnity really needed to be 2 mana. I think at 3 mana, it's just a little bit too slow, and it doesn't actually hate on energy as hard as people think. I mean, they're still playing 3 mana 3/2s, 4 mana 4/3s, Glorybringer, Chandra. So, not having energy kind of sucks, but they're still playing pretty decently costed creatures. And Glorybringer, isn't affected, and Chandra's not affected. So, I don't know. It would really have to be the card to stop energy that the pros are saying, I don't know why, no one was, playing this, or they were playing it wrong, or what have you. I don't know if there's a huge upside there.
I agree. I'm not really confident in that one as far as upside. I don't think the card's not going to tank in price, and maybe it sees a slight bump, but I don't think that's necessarily where you want to be as far as a good spec.
All right, folks. All right. That's going to wrap it up. Tark, thank you. Go enjoy yourself. We will see you guys soon.
See you guys.